And good morning to you, Tucson, and all of Southern Arizona. Welcome live out of the Common Workspace Studios, Tipping Point, with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. I'm your host, Zach Yenser, and happy Friday to you. A good show ahead. We'll close out the week, as we often do, talking about some of the news, the stories, the issues, the ideas of the week. That we didn't get to, busy full week on the show. That'll be our second half of the program. But this first half, our top of the hour guest conversation, is one I've been looking forward to for a number of weeks, and that is our conversation today with President Bobby Robbins, President of the University of Arizona. We are going to talk as much as possible, and I think we can do it 100% of the way, completely, about Tucson's place in space, the University of Arizona's place in space, and I think the branding we need to get behind as the space city of the Southwest, at least. That's our top of the hour conversation. Couldn't think of a more fun way to close out our week here on the program than that. Dr. Robbins, Happy New Year to you. Welcome to the show. Thanks for being with us.
Happy New Year to you, Zach. It's always a pleasure to speak with you and see you when I get to see you. So thanks for having me on your show.
Likewise, absolutely. Well, I'll be honest with you to kick us off, Dr. Robbins. I have a bit of a selfish reason for for this conversation. For the last couple of months on the show, I've been beating the drum that I think that Tucson should be rallying around the branding, public sector, private sector, education, as the space city of the Southwest. And I think, point blank, if we spent 10 years cross-sector marketing that, slapping it all over the city, bringing companies around it, launching startups out of it, tech transfer out of it. If we spent 10 years 120% focused on capitalizing on the expertise and research and experience we have in this community, driven in large part by the U of A around space and space research and astronomy and aerospace, this town would be completely different in 5 or 10 years. And it's driven in so large part by the University of Arizona, Dr. Robbins. So that's part of what I hope we start today. Let's do it.
All right. I love it, Zach. I had not heard you talking about this, but I absolutely love the vision, and I will be your co-conspirator in this movement, because I agree with you. The assets that are here at the university are absolutely phenomenal. Being the one of the top-ranked astronomy programs in the world for the last several decades. And a lot of that work goes on at the university, and most people don't know about it. I think they understand we've got four major international telescope complexes surrounding Tucson. And, of course, the reason why is because of weather. The weather's so great, and the aperture into the universe is spectacular. So I look forward to this conversation and many more, but I think you're absolutely right. And as you well know, there are many companies that are here, certainly Raytheon being the obvious one, but there are other companies, Vector being one, the balloon company for launching balloons. So I think this is an absolutely perfect thing to for us to talk about today.
I love it. And Dr. Robbins, in the 5 or so minutes we have of this segment, we have two with you today. I just want to rattle off some of the bona fides. Is that the right way to say it, of the University of Arizona?
Yeah.
20 years in a row, my understanding is, the number one astronomy program in the country. Last year, the University of Arizona was the national leader in astrophysics research spending. The University of Arizona has been a part of every NASA space mission since Apollo. Help me finish that list, Dr. Robbins. Tell Tucsonans what we don't know about how good the U of A has been by the numbers on this industry for decades.
Yeah, and I think the other one that's really big, and you don't have to understand space and all that's being accomplished in this sector, but you can understand jobs. And the University of Arizona is the only university that NASA has entrusted for the university to actually run two projects. The last one was over $1 billion. So NASA usually runs these things inside NASA, but occasionally universities will run them. And the OSIRIS-REx project, which Dante Larrietta spent almost 20 years of his life dedicated to tracking down this asteroid Bennu and procuring a sample, and it's rapidly coming back to Earth. You know, it's 300 million miles away. That's almost incomprehensible. But the amount of jobs and the economic impact that having the astronomy program and doing these big grants and running these big programs has on the local economy is tremendous. And I think it's something that we can absolutely build on.
Dr. Robbins, maybe the last question here. Tell us a little bit about, and I've been banging this drum for probably 2 years now, Dr. Robbins, the New Economy Initiative, an initiative that the state legislature finally got done in the last session in partnership with the Board of Regents to basically, and I'm oversimplifying it, Dr. Robbins, look at the three state universities and say, this is what each university is pretty darn good at. We're going to give you money to get better at it. And there were three areas that the state looks at the University of Arizona and says, you guys are good at it. The region is built for it. One of those being aerospace and space exploration. Talk to us a little bit about how we've talked national, we've talked NASA, but at the state level, the state of Arizona is looking at you and saying, let's double down. Let's go. Tell us a little bit about the New Economy Initiative real quick.
Yeah, well, I think it's projects that the legislature picks and chooses out of presentations that are made to the legislature. And certainly the one that we went in together in partnership with Raytheon to get state funding to create a new hypersonics test chamber at the university for research and development. And so this is a, you know, hypersonics is five times the speed of sound, and it's a wind tunnel that tests materials that go on missiles that Raytheon, for instance, makes to keep our country safe. And we're really the one of the leaders in the world in doing that type of research at a university level. So I couldn't be more appreciative that the state saw the need and the expertise that we were able to deliver, and they made an investment which will return dividends for decades to come and multiples of the investment that they made.
Dr. Robbins, I think it's fair to say, I don't think we would like to say it, but I think it's fair to say that China is probably a little bit ahead of us on hypersonics research, as may be Russia. This is an international item of importance. Again, I'm not sure how many people know about it, but this partnership with Raytheon is critical to national security, to international security. It's happening right here at the University of Arizona.
Yeah, that's absolutely right, Zach. And having these type of research and development infrastructures right here in Tucson on the University of Arizona campus so that Raytheon can test that next generation of missiles in these wind tunnels and chambers is really a force multiplier and a game changer that will help us. We've got to have multiple places doing this, but we're really leading the nation from a university standpoint. There are a couple of other places that are in our league, but for the western part of the United States, we are clearly in the lead here.
That's so cool. If you just jumped in, we're with President Bobby Robbins, president of the University of Arizona. We are talking only about the Tucson's place in space in the history of U.S. Space exploration and aerospace, and the role of the University of Arizona in doing that. We've talked about some of the credentials. When we come back on the other side of the hour, I want to ask Dr. Robbins, how can this community, public, private, listening audience, how can we help help you and the University of Arizona turn our community into the space city of the Southwest? I mean, that I think could be absolutely transformational for you know, this fourth industrial revolution, this reinvention of our economy that I think we have to be focused on here locally, as so many cities are. That's where we're going to go with President Robbins from the University of Arizona. On the other side, it's our Friday show here on Tipping Point on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. We'll be right back.
We're Tucson's trusted voice for local news and talk. 1030, The Voice.
Why I Love Where I Live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Located in the open-air Mercado San Agustin Annex just west of downtown, it's a great place to shop or spend time with friends as you enjoy food, drink, and other shopping options close by. Find gifts, toys, books, and clothes that will help you celebrate where you live. Visit them at the Annex off the I-10 at Cushing and Avenida del Convento.
In 2021, FC Tucson was just getting started. We're building something special that all of Tucson can be proud of. Don't miss FC Tucson in action in 2022. Secure your season tickets now at fctucson.com or call 520-600-3095 and download the FC Tucson app in the App Store or Google Play to get updates on MLS preseason as FC Tucson welcomes the biggest teams in U.S. soccer in January and February.
Zach Yenser here. I'm so excited to be a part of the launch of the Little Love Burger this fall here in Tucson. Located just two doors down from the Rialto Theater, Little Love Burger serves up the juiciest scratch-made hamburgers, loaded hot dogs, hub ice cream milkshakes, lovable local brews, and the most addictive breakfast sandwiches. Starting October 20th, Little Love Burger is open Sunday to Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m., and Thursday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook. Tucson, don't you want some burger to love?
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's the nearly 60 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges currently under construction, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
Helping you make better money decisions is what the Ramsey Show is all about. Today at 1 p.m. on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona, here out of the Common Workspace Studios. We're talking here on Tipping Point on AM 1030 KVUI The Voice with Dr. Robbins, the president of the University of Arizona, about Tucson's place in space. We are now co-conspirators on making, over the next 10 years, Tucson as the space city of the Southwest. I have it on tape now, Dr. Robbins. But no, I wanted. We have about 10 minutes together, and I wanted to head in this direction. You know, I've talked about on the show a lot, the Tucson region has the worst COVID jobs recovery of any of the seven metros in Arizona. Our GDP is at recession levels. Our business establishment growth rate is tremendously behind the region. There comes a point, Dr. Robbins, in my mind, where a metro or a city looks at itself and says, what we are doing and who we have been to get to this point is no longer working, is no longer good enough. And it happened in Pittsburgh And I look at Pittsburgh as an example because they then got the private sector, the public sector, academia together around a literal table and said, what are we good at? And they found out what they were good at, and they rallied around it, and they built an entire 21st century economy around those themes, in large part by public sector investment, private sector collaboration, and university investment. Dr. Robbins, I believe deeply that space and your expertise as an institution on astronomy and aerospace and space exploration could be at least a part of that portfolio going forward. My question is, how do we help you? How do we as a community come around what you're already doing and supercharge this thing?
Well, Zach, I was thinking about what you were saying about the space city of the Southwest. I spent some time in Houston, and they like to refer to themselves as Space City. But Houston had the Johnson Space Center, and that's basically the human space side of things. And of course, you've got the east coast of Florida around Cocoa Beach and that area where all the launches are happening. But the technology we have, I mean, Houston does not have the astronomy programs and the aerospace expertise that we have here in Tucson. So I absolutely love it. You can put that on tape over and over and over again, because I think that there is clearly a big opportunity here, and I've not focused as much on what you're talking about here on your program today. So I appreciate that. I've been more focused on translating fundamental discoveries from the university out into startups and Tech Launch Arizona and all the things that we're doing there that you're very familiar with. But this big idea of making the whole community rally around this, I think, is one that has tremendous merit. So the issue is going to be, how can everybody see themselves making money out of doing this? So it's always been difficult to go from, okay, we understand, you know, the exploration of space, but how can we make money off of that? Certainly in the aerospace industry and the defense industry, that one's clear, and that's not going away. But this commercialization of space is something that is happening right in front of our eyes, and there are things that I can't even talk about that are going on in the private sector, not just the public, you know, military, defense sector, but the private stuff that's going on and what people are interested in makes Tucson absolutely the place to come to. And I think we have to capitalize on exactly what you're saying, Zach.
Yeah, no, I think about Worldview, and I think about Freefall, Freefall Aerospace, who we've had here on the show many times, Vector, and so many of the, there's one that starts with P that I'm blanking on here on the show. I'm sure a listener is going to text it to me. If you're listening, I forgot about you. I haven't forgotten about you. I know who you are. I just forget the name. But there is an ecosystem happening. I think about the fact, Dr. Robbins, president of the University of Arizona, who we're with, that when Mayor Bob Walkup was mayor, he put a lot of work into making sure that when people got off the plane at Tucson International Airport, and it still may be there, they walked out and they saw Welcome to Optics Valley, which, by the way, we still are and we should continue to be, and there's no shift in that. But I think about that as an idea of what does it look like for everyone to come together and make sure that when someone lands in Tucson and thinks about Tucson, they're thinking about space. And that community branding, I think, is so important. It's storytelling what we're already doing, isn't it, Dr. Robbins? I had two listeners text Dr. Robbins, it's Paragon. I knew my listeners would take care of us today.
Yeah. So I appreciate the listeners out there. I was blanking on Worldview earlier when I was saying the balloon company, but tremendous companies, all the ones you mentioned, Zach. But I think actually the optical science and the space are so inextricably linked. So it's space optics valley here, and I go back to what I said, where Houston's made a lot out of being Space City, but we are the science and the business side. I think we've got tremendous advantages even over Houston. So I love where you're going with this, and I'm a little chagrined that I wasn't dragging you along on this journey.
You know, it's one team around here, Dr. Robbins. We we're all going to put
one
our hand to the plow.
Go Wildcats.
And make it happen. Dr. Robbins, I've got probably 3 minutes with you. I love this vision we're casting. How can we help you, the communities behind you? Is there anything else that we missed? I know your team at the U of A was spending some time last year spotlighting the successes. We've got 2 minutes, but James Webb Telescope pops up. Anything else that you want to leave us with here that are big news going into 2022 out of 21?
Well, the James Webb Telescope and Marcia Rieke in particular, the instruments that she and her husband have put on the James Webb. I mean, they've been at this for over 40 years, and it's just a tremendous group of professors that are so dedicated to the work they do and this university. The thing that we're going to need, obviously, is to come together. So maybe we put together a space roundtable. But we always have to have working capital, venture capital, and that's something I think we can attract. But there's also opportunities here locally with things that Fletcher McClesker is doing and others. So I think that, I thought we were going on a Space Jam discussion about the basketball team. Then we can come back to that later. But I think it's a brilliant idea, and I look forward to continuing this discussion.
I love it. Dr. Robbins, thanks for having it on a Friday to close out what I'm sure has been a busy week. We know that class has started. We know you're dealing with so much. But Dr. Robbins, I think we have to, I say on the show all the time, we have to have 1 foot in the pothole, 1 foot on the moon, 1 foot on managing the issues of the day, and one in the vision and moonshotting of where this community needs to go, and it has to happen at the same time. So thanks for letting me distract you from what I'm sure are pressing items, but this is so important, and I appreciate the conversation. And your athletic teams aren't doing too bad. You've built some great things on that end too, Dr. Robbins, and it's fun for the community, so thanks for that also.
Yeah, Zach, before you go, just remember, when you drive down Speedway, if you look to the north, you're going to see a big crane in our applied sciences buildings coming out of the ground. And if you look to the south near the stadium, another big crane of our Grand Challenges building awesome. Coming out of the ground right next to Optical Science. Both of them are going to be heavily supporting aerospace and space research. So you're right on target.
I love it. Go Wildcats. Dr. Robbins, thanks so much. Have a great weekend, and we'll continue this soon.
Okay, thanks, Zach.
Thank you, sir. We'll be right back after a short break. More from me on this on the other side. Happy Friday. Don't go anywhere. In 1994, the University of Arizona took the bold step of acquiring an industrial park in southeastern Pima County and transforming it into a university research park. With over 25 years of success, Tech Parks Arizona continues to advance innovation. Whether it's the nearly 60 startups at the University of Arizona Center for Innovation or the new Tech Park at the Bridges currently under construction, they are integral in shaping the future of Southern Arizona. Tech Parks Arizona, moving innovation at the speed of business.
In 2021, FC Tucson was just getting started. We're building something special that all of Tucson can be proud of. Don't miss FC Tucson in action in 2022. Secure your season tickets now at fctucson.com or call 520-600-3095 and download the FC Tucson app in the App Store or Google Play to get updates on MLS preseason as FC Tucson welcomes the biggest teams in U.S. soccer in January and February.
Tucson. Your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to present the Patrick Martinez Look What You Created exhibition. In his first solo museum exhibition in the American Southwest, Los Angeles-based artist Patrick Martinez explores sites of personal, civic, and cultural loss sustained over recent years in America. Opening just this month through April 24th, you can go see it in the Kasser Family Wing of Latin American Art. TucsonMuseumOfArt.org to get your tickets now.
Life isn't about money, but how you handle money impacts everything. The Ramsey Show, today at 1 on 1030 The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning to you. This segment here on Tipping Point on 1030 The Voice, coming to you live out of the Common Workspace Studios. Sponsored by Little Love Burger. They opened downtown last fall. Little Love Burger is serving up the juiciest burgers, loaded hot dogs, so ice cream, milkshakes, local brews, and breakfast sandwiches. You can follow them on social at Little Love Burger for their most current hours, and go support a great local business. If you're just joining us, we said goodbye a moment ago to Dr. Bobby Robbins, the president of the University of Arizona. And Matt, I am fired up. That was a tremendously fun conversation talking about Tucson's place in space and the epic, no hyperbole there, the epic things that the University of Arizona is driving on a daily basis. That was a conversation on how to drive the money and movement side of it. How do we use that as a transformational element of Tucson as a 21st century city? We were jamming, man. That was fun.
The university has a very long history in supporting this, and it's as I was saying yesterday, it's not all in the past. It's now, and 100%. It's also in the future. So great legacy and great things happening there going forward. The OSIRIS-REx is just amazing that it can go, and you think about the math involved in intercepting an asteroid, right? And in space, and then is this something else? It's just amazing.
I think it's a Netflix movie called Don't Look Up.
Right.
I've seen a trailer for it and I've seen some clips, but it's about a meteor, an asteroid hurtling towards Earth. And it's supposed to be satire that I think reflects a lot of our other realities right now.
A comet. And, it's a comet. Yep.
Is it a comet?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. DiCaprio and Jennifer Lawrence. I've seen part of it, and I've got it on the list to finish watching.
It's star-studded, no doubt. But apparently, a University of Arizona member of the faculty or astronomy there. Again, I didn't have this in my notes, but actually consulted the directors on that movie.
Nice. See?
So there's a U of A connection again. But no, the University of Arizona is helping to make sure that when a meteor, comet, or an asteroid is hurtling towards Earth, that we can somewhat intercept it. They are making sure that Don't Look Up doesn't happen in real life. So that's a bit of a comfort.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
Just going to say, and as we talked about off air, I was mentioning Randy Tufts, who was with the LPL. He actually was one of the discoverers, ironically, of Karchner Caverns underground in 1974, him and a guy named Gary Tenen. But that's a connection to university. I know it's not stargazing or astronomy or space, but it's pretty amazing that somebody from LPL was connected to, was a discoverer, right, of Karchner Caverns.
Right. Yeah, no, there is such a heritage and a legacy here in this region. Of course, the University of Arizona is 20 years in a row the number one astronomy program in the country. Last year, the national leader in astrophysics research spending, a trusted external partner of NASA, being a part of every NASA space mission since Apollo. And I think we're at a tipping point. Again, it's kind of funny because it's the name of the show, but it's not funny because that's why I named the show what I named it, because I think we are in this critical moment as a community where, like President Robbins said, we look to not just do great internal research and launch great things internally at the U of A, but how do we connect the expertise of the U of A that is being funded federally, that is being funded at the state level, that is recognized globally for its expertise? How do we use that to grow our economy and to be a 21st century community of our own here as a greater Tucson region. And I think that's a conversation, and you heard it on the air, that's a conversation that is at least in its infancy, that we are not yet having a full conversation on how do we bring all the pieces together. How do we get the public sector, private sector, and the U of A, among others, around the table to say, how do we lean in on this? And that's how I started the show with Dr. Robbins. I said, this is my selfish ambition, that we see a community that has that conversation and spends the next 10 years doubling down on all the investment and expertise that is already in our community and is already happening. But how do we brand it? How do we bring a national attention to it that brings dollars and companies and resources? How do we say that the University of Arizona, west of the Mississippi, is one of the institutions partnering with the private sector to keep up with China and Russia on hypersonics research? And I love this community because it's slower and it's a little bit more organic and a little bit more maybe authentic. But I got to tell you, we operate often as if the world stands still around us. We operate that way economically. We operate that way politically. We think that the rest of the world moves at Tucson time. And I got to tell you, Tucson time is its own unique thing. Nobody moves at Tucson time. The rest of the world certainly isn't. China and Russia are eating the United States lunch on hypersonics research. The United States is falling behind. And somebody's going to do it, and somebody's going to get good at it, and somebody's going to have to win. And that is the unfortunate, difficult, harsh reality of international politics. We can say America first, but we are in an international ecosystem. And in the international ecosystem, two of our largest rivals are getting better, faster at hypersonics research, and might I also add, space defense. We all laughed at Space Force, myself included. I'll just be honest. It's a little funny. The icons were a little weird. But I got to tell you, there was some genius behind that. Because the next frontier, the frontier currently already here, is space. And I think we have the opportunity to plant our flag in that future right here in Tucson. And my passion comes from the fact that I know I'm not sitting behind this mic and dreaming up, you know, a potential reality. I'm saying we have all the pieces here. The only thing left to do is to tie it all together. And I told Dr. Robbins this, and I'm sorry if you listened through it all and I'm repeating myself a little bit. Stick with me. We're gonna shift out of this a little bit. But if you just jumped in, I started the second segment saying, Dr. Robbins, I am discouraged and I am optimistic at the same time. I am discouraged that Tucson is still having the worst COVID recovery of anywhere, including Flagstaff in the state of Arizona, that we have a GDP that is at great recession levels almost 15 years on, that our business establishment growth rate is still one of the worst in our Western United States region among the 13 cities that we are in and compare ourselves to. But I know that we are not the only city that has been here, that is at this point where it looks at its papers and its data and says, what we're doing isn't working. And I think Tucson needs to look at itself and goes, how we have done what we have done for the last how many number of years will not get us to the future. It will not create affordability. It will not create opportunity. It will not create quality of life. What we are doing is no longer good enough. The results are in. The current strategy is not working. But communities like Pittsburgh have been smart enough early enough to come around a table and say, how do we capitalize on what we're good at? For them, it was robotics and computing and autonomous vehicles and electric vehicles. What is it for Tucson? And I'm saying today, and I'm putting my flag down, and we now have Dr. Robbins on tape doing the same as a co-conspirator on this. I think that if not the thing, it is one of the two or three things that it is: space, aerospace, astronomy, and space exploration. That is the thing, or one of the things, that Tucson can today come together and say we have considerable momentum that is still kind of under the table a little bit, that is still not quite seen, and we're going to go and we're going to expedite it, supercharge it, and make it happen. And for the next 10 years, every breath we breathe in this community, private sector, public sector, academia, is Space City of the Southwest. And look, I'm not that smart. I just happen to have a weird masochistic curiosity to look around the country and go, lots of cities are figuring out what got them through the 20th century is not going to get them through the 21st century. It's a reality. What did they do to reset, recharge, and move forward? And what I'm telling you today is what they did. The roadmap is there. We don't have to invent anything new. The roadmap is there. We just have to giddy up and get moving on it. So that was my selfish ambition. And, you know, I, of course, come into these shows with a level of preparation. I know what I want to ask. I know what I hope the conversation is going to be. But I got to tell you, I did not expect how fun that conversation with Dr. Robbins was going to be this morning. I think we're both jamming as if we were over a cup of coffee around the cool things that the University of Arizona has been doing for decades in this space, no pun intended, and what the future could be around it. Now, do we want it? And are we prepared to do the work to get there? That is the question. And why not in the second week of 2022 ask that question and maybe resolve together as a community to go make it happen? I'll leave on this. I was telling a friend, I said, there has been no more period than the last 8 months where I have gotten, I think, so realistic and pragmatic about the gaps in Tucson's foundation to be a successful community. I am not Pollyannish anymore. I am not 100% optimistic. I think I am the appropriate amount of realistic and pragmatic about what the challenges are that this community is going to have to overcome to be successful. But my optimism, my excitement is charged by the fact that I know the seeds are in the ground, and these are the seeds that are in the ground. So I'm feeling happy today on this Friday. I'm feeling like I've got the right amount of pragmatism and I've got the right amount of optimism. Let's go. Let's get after it. I've seen this on the University of Arizona's social media. I'll tell you this. I think some people are listening to this show. Hashtag Space City SW. I've been seeing it on the U of A. I've been tweeting that hashtag. As silly as it sounds, as slacktivist as it sounds, sometimes social media has a role. And it's been fun the last few weeks to start rallying some people around this. Get enough people talking about it, we'll talk about it. So if you're on Twitter or social media, talk about Tucson's place in space. Share this conversation. Tweet about it. Follow the U of A. Follow me. Follow others who are tweeting and talking about this. Let's start a movement. We might have done it on this show on accident, but actually on purpose. We'll be right back for our last segment of this Friday. One more conversation. You're listening to Tipping Point on AM 1030 KVUI, The Voice. I'm your host, Zach Yenser. On this beautiful Friday, we'll be right back after a short break.
Real issues with real people. Tipping Point with Zach Yenser, 1030 The Voice.
Why I love where I live. It's a brand and movement that began here in Tucson to spark gratitude and celebrate the good things about where we live. Located in the open-air Mercado San Agustin Annex just west of downtown, it's a great place to shop or spend time with friends as you enjoy food, drink, and other shopping options close by. Find gifts, toys, books, and clothes that will help you celebrate where you live. Visit them at the Annex off the I-10 at Cushing and Avenida del Convento. Zach Yenser here. I'm so excited to be a part of the launch of the Little Love Burger this fall here in Tucson. Located just two doors down from the Rialto Theater, Little Love Burger serves up the juiciest scratch-made hamburgers, loaded hot dogs, hub ice cream milkshakes, lovable local brews, and the most addictive breakfast sandwiches. Starting October 20th, Little Love Burger is open Sunday to Wednesday, 8 a.m. to 9 p.m. and Thursday to Saturday, 8 a.m. to 10 p.m. Follow them on Instagram and Facebook. Tucson, don't you want some burger to love? Tucson, your Tucson Museum of Art is pleased to present the Patrick Martinez Look What You Created exhibition. In his first solo museum exhibition in the American Southwest, Los Angeles-based artist Patrick Martinez explores sites of personal, civic, and cultural loss sustained over recent years in America. Opening just this month through April 24th, you can go see it in the Kasser Family Wing of Latin American Art. TucsonMuseumOfArt.org to get your tickets now.
The economy is moving forward, and Arizona businesses are looking at new opportunities and challenges as we emerge from COVID-19. Leading companies are planning how to respond to new business and rebuild their teams and are looking for critical talent now. The right talent in key positions will make all the difference, and having a trusted and dedicated talent acquisition partner will give you an edge. Devin and her team at Talent Store will connect you with top talent while positively impacting time to hire, retention, and your employer brand. Learn more by visiting yourtalentstore.com and scheduling time with Devin and her team.
After you finish listening to The Tipping Point, listen to my show, The Hugh Hewitt Show, this morning from 10 to noon, right here on 1030 KBOI, The Voice.
And we're back, Tucson and all of Southern Arizona. Good morning to you. Welcome live out of the Common Workspace Studios, Tipping Point with Zach Yenser on AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, daily in-depth news, conversation, and talk about the people, ideas, and issues shaping Tucson's future. This segment is sponsored by Little Love Burger. They opened downtown last fall and are now a few months in. Little Love Burger serving up the juiciest burgers, loaded hot dogs, have ice cream, milkshakes, local brews, and breakfast sandwiches. You can follow them on social media at Little Love Burger for all of their most recent open hours and when and what days, a few doors down from the Rialto Theater. Also, this is a new addition. When you go, not if you go, but when you go, see what I did there? Mention Tipping Point for 15% off your bill. That's what they said. So that's what I'm saying. Mention Tipping Point for 15% off your next time in. Pretty cool. So support some great local businesses, some great local men and women starting businesses. I want to close out the show with something that has been on the radar this week. We use Fridays here on the program to kind of go back and check off things on the list that were at least on my radar and, of course, on your radar, 520-790-2040, that we didn't get to. And there was an article It was News 13, KOLD News 13, by Valerie Cavazos. Tucson police response times at all-time low. Mainly due to staffing. There was a lot that I think was really cool about this article in terms of how in-depth it was and how numbers-based it was. If you haven't seen the article, it's worth a read. There are two things that I think we're missing in the article that I think are important. There was quite a bit of the article that mentioned how CSOs, or community service officers, are being asked to respond to more things, specifically some priority two calls, because there's just not enough commissioned officers to handle it. And that number went up from like 650 calls that CSOs addressed in 2016 up to 2,000 responding to priority two calls in particular. Unless that is clarified, and I'm working on getting it clarified, that can be kind of confusing. Thankfully, and as far as I know, and I'm only part of the way through my research, it is not as if we are sending non-commissioned officers, right? CSOs who do have some level of training, but they're not commissioned. We're not sending these folks out to violent crime situations. What I have heard multiple times is that this uptick in what is being responded to is a lot of kind of like vehicular crashes, potentially deadly events that are non-violent, if that makes sense. What I have heard from multiple folks on the ground is, again, we're not sending non-commissioned officers into violent situations. So I think that's important. I think that was an item in there that caught my eye of, wow, our non-commissioned officers are responding to a lot more calls 5 years in than they were before. But that's due to the type of calls. It's due to the fact that there's more CSOs than there were 5 years ago. Some of those dynamics, I think, are important to making decisions for the community. The other thing that was not in the piece, at least that I found, that I think is important for the community to know, is that Chief Kazmar has a plan. And Chief Kazmar was on my show about a week and a half ago. And Chief Kazmar wants to basically see 900 commissioned officers and 300 CSOs hired. And again, these CSOs are community service officers who can manage some of the nonviolent issues that TBD has been addressing. They can go on sites to crashes that happen. They can, you know, deal with some of the things that folks call 911 for still. So 900 and 300 would get to that 1200 number. I don't know about you, and I really don't know about you, because opinions on this vary and numbers on this vary. But 1,200 people able to respond to 911 calls is closer to the number that I think a community of our size needs to effectively respond to 911 calls. TBD is short 122 officers right now, 105 of which are in patrol. For the first time, the average response time, reports KLD-13, dropped to an all-time low from 66% in 2016 to 48% last year. Priority 1 calls ramped up from nearly 1,900 to 2,500, a 35% jump. That includes 93 murders in 2094 and 2021. A record-setting year. So the fact of the matter is, what we are doing now is not working, right? I think we have to kindly, gently, and firmly say, when things aren't working by the numbers, they're not working. And if you are happy with response times being under the national average, whether it is the Public Safety Communications Department, or whether it is the number of officers that can make their way to a priority call that you place, there is simply not enough people anywhere to make this happen well and to make this happen safely. Now, I mean, if you are calling and there's someone at your door with a gun, those are priority calls that are still being run to very, very much. But we are not at a point in this community where, for complete community safety, we've got enough bodies, human beings, beating, breathing, blood is moving beings to manage the size of city, of the city we have. So I think 1,200 is closer. And I am not anti the fact of ramping up CSOs. If we can have non-commissioned officers responding to calls that are not violent, not as super urgent, and we can leave our commissioned officers to do the job they were trained to do, I'm not convinced at all that's a bad thing. And 1,200 heart-beating bodies, men and women in our community, is closer to the number that we need. The fact of the matter is, we still have to get there. And I'm hopeful that we will get there. And that is going to require more people coming through academy and less attrition. There is another raise being discussed by mayor and council for TPD in the coming year, a raise that will keep up with market rates around the community. Again, we are having a conversation where we cannot consider our city in a silo. We are a part of a regional, state, and national ecosystem, an ecosystem where Albuquerque can come in and they can buy a bulletin board and poach our officers away. That is a reality. We live in a competitive, fast-moving, poaching environment, and we either keep up or we don't. And I think how we do that, not just how we pay, but how we keep up morale, how we build a community culture in Greater Tucson around a fully funded and staffed public safety institution that is held to better account, greater accountability when needed. And as a community, we are focusing on the economic and social reasons why crime happens in the first place and trying to prevent it. That's the answer. That's the three-legged stool. And if we can do those things right, I am still hopeful that new Chief Kazmar, TPD Chief Kazmar, can get us to that 900-300 number. It's a number I heard this week from people on the ground. I think it's a good number. And I'd love to know if you think it's a good number. Is it too high? Is it too low? Do you like the 900-300 split? zanswer@gmail.com. I am curious about that. So anyway, I've seen this article circulating, and there were two important things that I think didn't make it into the article that I thought were valuable to bring to you, this listening audience. And by the way, I want to use this moment to also plug that my friend Bill Buckmaster at noon is going to have the new Deputy Chief, Eric Kazmierczak, on the show. So don't just take my word for it, but listen to Bill Buckmaster at noon for a conversation with Arizona Daily Star writer Tim Steller about the state of public safety in our community. And look, I know there's a variety of opinions on the Star, but I will ask you if you're listening, who else is really talking up until recently about crime in the community? Tim Steller is a guy who I think has been talking about it for a while, and you can agree or disagree with his take, but he's been covering it. So I think it's going to be an interesting conversation, and I'm looking forward to it. When we come back after a long weekend, as we celebrate the life and legacy of Martin Luther King Jr., we'll do that with a day off in celebration. But Keith Gregory is the director of the Pasquayaki Tribe, Tribe's Affordable Housing Initiative. So we'll talk with him on Tuesday. Mayor Joe Winfield of Oro Valley is going to be with us for the first time on Thursday. I've had Mayor Murphy on, Mayor Romero. I've had Mayor Honey on all multiple times. And Mayor Winfield is going to be with us, and I'm really, really looking forward to that. So Tucson, stay safe and healthy out there. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being with us. Matt Neely, one more time before we head out of here on the weekend. Thanks for all you do. Good doing this thing with you, and appreciate all your help and making it happen.
Have a great holiday weekend, Zach.
Absolutely. If you missed any of us, put us in your ear, any of the shows, put us in your ear over the weekend. KVY.com/podcasts, Google Play Music, iTunes, Spotify. We are in all those places. You can listen back to the show there and catch up on anything that you missed, and I definitely hope you do that. That's it for us on the show today. Tucson, stay safe and healthy out there. Hugh Hewitt is up next here at 10. Bill Buckmaster at noon. Listen to his interview with Deputy Chief Eric Kazmierczak on his show at noon, the Bill Buckmaster Show. We'll be back on Tuesday. Stay safe, stay healthy again, and we'll see you on the other side. Tipping Point returns on AM 1030 KVY, The Voice.